you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, sir, we got back the x-ray. Everything's a blur, but it's all positive. That's what every single test shows.
Hello, and welcome to the Doctor's Inn. This is Dr. Ken Logan. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, and the Doctor's Inn is a hour-long radio show that I do once a month, the third Thursday of the month, from 6 to 7 in the evening. And what I like to do is cover subjects of interest, hopefully of interest to you, the listeners, in the realm of medical stuff and health stuff. And if you have a subject that you would like me to cover on the Doctor's Inn in the future, you could contact me by emailing me, and my email address is klogan.md@yahoo.com. That's klogan.md@yahoo.com. And I need to let you know that the opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Speaking of underwriters, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters, like you, the listeners, who are listening to this, hopefully, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Corey Lee Pest Control. Whether you're dealing with ants, roaches, rodents, or other types of pests, the experts at this locally owned Corey Lee Pest Control have you covered. They provide regular scheduled and emergency visits for residential and commercial property. Want to be pest free? Call Corey Lee at 228-8717 or visit coreyleepest.com. And Corey Lee is Lee as in L-E-E. So Coreyleepest pest.com. Today's show, I'm going to have two parts. Let me tell you a bit about what to expect for the second half of the show. We'll be speaking with a representative of Planned Parenthood of Northern California, a senior educational manager from actually the Redding area, and we will be hearing, we the listeners, including me, will be hearing about Planned Parenthood, what that amounts to, what the organization is and does for clients. And we may discuss some of the ups and downs that have come up in the news or in the press over the last few months relative to certain issues of funding. The first half of the show is going to be about the becoming of doctorhood, the becoming of a doctor. And the guest today is actually in that process of becoming a doctor. He is a medical student, and his name is Chris Logan. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for being on the show. And what I want, you know, again, this is the Doctor's Inn, medical health information, and I think the idea of becoming a doctor is something that listeners may know a little bit about, but they don't maybe know a whole lot about it, what it entails, kind of what it looks like and what it involves. And so since you are in the thick of it, I thought maybe you could educate us.
Well, sure. Where should we start?
Well, you so where are you from, Chris?
I'm from here in Chico, California, and yeah, born here and raised in nearby town Durham, and kind of grown up here in Butte County.
Gotcha.
Ever since.
Gotcha. So kind of let's back up. Let's start in the beginning. Let's back up a little bit. And so how did it start for you as far as desire to be a doctor and to go to medical school? Where were you at that time in your life, educational life?
I was actually in junior college after graduating high school. Prior to that, it for various reasons, or maybe a different reason, depending on when you asked me at what point in my life, I might have had a different reason for not wanting to pursue this career in medicine. I don't know if it's clear at this point, but you happen to be my father, if listeners didn't know that. And so growing up, it wasn't really on my list of things to do. And I think early on, I would give the reason that I felt there were too many patients, and it would kind of, I kind of felt that I might get exhausted or something like that, you know.
Because your father was obviously exhausted working hard.
Well, comment. No, I don't really remember it like that necessarily too much, but maybe I just don't remember that. But I. Since then, that idea of helping that many people has almost become the reason for it wanting to become a doctor. You know, that's kind of inspiring, the idea of helping, you know, thousands of people at, you know, any given time.
Yeah, and you say the word thousands as in over several months to years.
Mm-hmm.
It does become thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you were in, you said junior college at the time, and you decided that you wanted to pursue medicine,
right?
Become a doctor of medical school. Then what did you have to do once you had that epiphany?
Well, you look at you look at your standing, really. So far, if you've got a good study habit, ethic, and if you already know that that's what you want to do, and you're looking to move on from there, then you look into the prerequisites that are currently required, for getting into medical schools. And most U.S. medical schools will have very similar, if not the same, prerequisites. And
prerequisites that you speak of, meaning college courses.
Yeah, it's like a year of biology college classes with labs, and a general chemistry, a year of that with labs, and then an organic chemistry year of that with labs. There are other classes that right now, I think a calculus class, and it escapes me right now. And it's been a couple of years since I actually applied, so I don't know if much has changed, if anything. But
so in effect, there's besides other things you may be studying in college, you have to be sure that you're on a path that accomplishes a that accomplishes certain classes,
yeah,
that are required,
and
certain subjects.
Right, and they don't have to be related to your major. You can be in, you know, engineering major or a literature major. You don't have to be a life science or physical science major
in order to apply to medical
school.
Right.
However, right. But on top of having your bachelor's degree, you do also have to fit those take those prerequisite classes. Gotcha. So it might be extra time if they don't already fit into your major, which could save you time, shave off some time.
Gotcha. Okay, and then so then so you've made up your mind. You want to go to medical school, and then you're understanding what classes you need to take, and you're in the thick of it. What school was that at?
Well, I
so
went
you were
to
doing your undergraduate.
I went to Butte College here in Oroville, and then also Chico State. Transferred to Chico State in 2012, I think. 2012, yeah.
Gotcha. So, you know, part of me, as in the specifics about that, has to do with, you know, the process of going through college. Just so I can say this, you can start at a junior college, mm-hmm. as many people do, transfer to a four-year college, mm-hmm. as you did, Chico State, and then from there, you are able to enter medical school if you are accepted. In other words, you don't have to go to University of California, Davis, or you don't have to go to Duke University or any of those things. I mean, people who go to those schools do get into medical school as well, but, I mean, medical students come from all colleges across the country.
Right.
And other parts of the world, right. Of course.
I'm living proof.
Yeah. And so, okay, so then what happened? You were in Chico State. You did you were working on your undergraduate prerequisite classes to line you up to apply to medical school. And then what did you have to do?
Well, it helped that I started volunteering at a local free health clinic called Shalom Clinic.
I've heard of it.
Shalom Free Clinic. you know anything about that place?
I'm familiar with it.
You know, anybody who runs the place or anything?
Yeah, and so what you're getting at is that having some not just school,
right.
schooling in college, that is your college courses.
Right.
Not only that, but it's very important to have gone beyond that,
mm-hmm.
in volunteering or doing other types of...
Sure.
Medical or science or helping people kind of stuff,
right,
outside of college.
Right. So, you know, of course, getting good grades in those classes that are required, and then it shows some qualities in about you that are desirable in medical schools' eyes. And so that's great if you're helping the community and in a healthcare related manner, then even better. And then on top of that, shadowing some physicians if you can, as really as much as you can, to show that you've really been around the job and you understand how it goes and that you really are doing what you want to do.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I shadowed a few physicians in Chico, and...
Shadowing means sitting in with them when they're doing their work, seeing patients, et cetera, and just being a fly on the wall.
And I guess I also, not only physicians, but also a physician's assistant and also a nurse practitioner I was able to shadow. And they were all, it was all great. I loved every minute of every bit of it. I don't know if I'm, you know, there were family practitioners and let's see here, a pediatrician and a pathologist. They, yeah, all really, really cool. Interesting specialties.
And then how about other experiences in the medical world? Tell
yeah,
us
sure.
about that.
Yeah.
Before you went to medical school that may have helped you on your path.
There are a couple things I can think of. I did a lot, once again, some more volunteer work that I had been doing even prior to my knowledge that I wanted to be a doctor. I'd volunteered for a summer camp for many years of my life, yeah. Camp McCumber for kids with type 1 diabetes. Let's see here. Another thing is working in a healthcare in the healthcare field. And so I, for about 2 years, was a medical assistant in two different doctor's offices here in the area, and a scribe in one of them while doing some medical assistant work. And that was great. I loved it. It showed me what the inside of an office was, you know. And then I also got to see some hospital settings, and I also got to see some other clinic type settings. And it's important to kind of get all a wide variety of what's out there in medicine, so that you can see what resonates with you. And so that, and for me, really, it was general practice and family practice. While other things are very interesting, it's very important to get something that really resonates with you and you think you'll feel best at the end of the day.
And then you did applications. Tell us about that process.
Right. Well, it was long and
a lot of fun.
Sure. Yeah absolutely. And
I was being sarcastic.
Me too. And so there is a, it's actually relatively, I'll go as far to say really convenient. They have a website where you can apply to almost all the U.S. medical schools using that website all at once, and even some outside the U.S., and I used that two cycles in a row, which is 2 years in a row, and before getting into a school. And, you know, I'd like to complain and say, oh, it was a horrible process, but they really made it easy with technology and everything, and I'm thankful for that. So that was really cool. But, yeah, it's I'm sure not what it used to be. You go online and you show them your MCAT score. Oh, that's another thing you need for applying to medical schools, is to take the MCAT, which is the medical college's admissions test, and it scores you. And they just changed the scoring recently and the test itself. So I'm not an expert on that. So I shouldn't talk too much about that, I guess. But yeah, you have to take that and then present your score to your applications, and also your GPA in college and your major and your experiences, whether it's work or volunteer or shadowing physicians. Also a letter of intent, basically, which, you know, telling them your story of who you are, why they should pick you, what you have to offer.
So it's no little chore. Applying to medical school, it sounds like you got to line some ducks up.
Yeah, true that. Yep.
And then you did this. You did it 1 year and no takers, and then you did it a second year application.
Right. Yeah.
And then, how long have you been in medical school?
I just finished year one, so I'm just going to start year two here pretty soon, actually. And I'm actually late with that because my school was affected by Hurricane Irma, and so I'm on an extended break right now, and I'm going back here in.
What do you mean your school was affected by Irma?
Well, thankfully the school held up really nicely. My school is in the Caribbean, and it's on the island of Saint Martin, and it was right in Hurricane Irma's path, and Category 5 once it, you know, hit the island. And many of my students were not as fortunate as me to not be on the island at that time. I was on the vacation, and I chose to leave the island. We had about a week and a half to have a vacation between semesters. And I came home, and then heard the hurricane was getting, you know, worse and headed right for the island. So I said, hey, I'll stay back another week. And after making that decision, the students, many of which took shelter in the school itself, which is hurricane ready, and but it, you know, it wasn't fun for them. And, you know, I am not a good example of what exactly went on, because there hasn't been the greatest communication with them, and they're focused on getting, you know, getting the heck out of there and moving on and making sure their families are safe, making sure everything's, you know, their passports, getting ready and getting off the island, their pets, you know. So, and not everyone is from America there, too, so they've got different countries and different militaries helping evacuate them from the island. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we're moving to the United Kingdom here, and I'm not really sure for how long, because a lot of the island of St. Martin was devastated in this, and it's horrible for the people that live there, not going to school and who can just move and be moved somewhere else. They their lives are there, and they have to rebuild, and, you know, it's a tragedy.
Yeah. I heard 90% of the structures were demolished.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot of people's homes.
Yep. Yeah, and my school's sister school, Ross University on the island of Dominica, was just affected similarly by Hurricane Maria.
And so
they're in the same boat we are, and I have been trying to contact some of my friends there, and I haven't heard back from any of them yet. But
communication's even difficult.
But I understand that they're getting evacuated. They're safe, from what I understand.
So your school is going to regroup in another country. It's going to be England.
Yep.
You said, huh?
Yep.
And you'll know about that later in the month, huh?
Yeah. Right now, because it's a fluid, you know, really dynamic plan that's, you know, moving close to 700 students from one country to another country, and finding space for us, you know, finding all that.
It's a big deal.
It's interesting.
So you've completed the first year, and what did that amount to your first year of medical school? Was it did you see patients? Were you in a hospital? Were you in classrooms? What's up with it? What did that look like?
Well, I don't know if I said the name of the school, American University of the Caribbean on the island of St. Martin, AUC School of Medicine, AUC School of Medicine, sorry. Let's see here. So that at that school really since January, it's the equivalent of a U.S. medical school's first year. So that's why I say completed my first year. But that entailed an anatomy class that was a semester long, where we worked with real cadavers. And we did see mock patients, which are paid actors, basically, and they give stories, and God, they're phenomenal. They'll move you. One in particularly caught me off guard. It was a real good test of how in the real clinic, you know, how you would operate and help this person who's having this horrible time and
operate, not
surgically,
how you would react and respond to the patient.
Absolutely. Huh? Right. And, you know, just
good.
There are lines you don't cross, and it's not every bit of it can come completely natural to a person. So it's important to go through those practices.
So, kind of basic sciences. And then you're going to do, have another year of classroom stuff, on the island, and then your last 2 years of medical school is 4 years. Mm-hmm. Your last 2 years are going to be where?
In the U.S., we also have the option of going to the United Kingdom or Canada for the clinical rotation portion of medical school. I definitely plan to do that in the U.S. and. Yeah, that would be ideal for me.
Very good. And then once you finish medical school, you'll have your degree. And then what?
There are various tests along the way
during school.
Yeah, not only at the school, but also board exams, national board exams to complete, those are in between years of school, and then after the education, and then you have your residency, and that's another depending on what specialty you choose, could be years, not many to many years.
yeah. Three at the least, probably, and then maybe longer depending on your specialty. So there you've done at least 4 years or more as an undergraduate,
right?
In your case, Butte College, Chico State, and then you're going to have 4 years at your medical school at AUC, American University Caribbean, and then you're going to have another 3 years or so in a residency program, and then you will be ready to get out into the world as a doctor.
That's right.
You will be a doctor when you graduate medical school, although you won't be able to practice medicine until you've completed at least that first year after medical school and training, huh?
Right.
And passed another test.
Right.
Jiminy Christmas. There's a lot of stuff to do.
It's complicated. Nobody knew it was this complicated.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you. Want to do a break in a minute?
Sure.
Okay, so I appreciate you talking with us about becoming a doctor. I thought you just, you know, I thought it was just a slam dunk thing, but it sounds like it's a little more complicated than people might realize. So let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with a representative from Planned Parenthood, Northern California. And Chris, you're welcome to stick around and offer questions to this person if you like, or whatever.
Great, cool. Thanks for having me.
We'll take a little music break and then be right back with the second half of Dr. Zinn. You're listening to KZFR FM 90.1, KZFR Radio in Chico, California. And you're listening to The Dr. Zinn. This is Dr. Ken Logan. And for the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Toni Donovan. She is a senior education manager for Planned Parenthood of Northern California. Toni Donovan, are you there? Let's see if we're able to connect by telephone with you. Let's see, not quite yet. So we're working on that telephone connection with Toni Donovan. And what the idea of having Toni Donovan on the show relative to Planned Parenthood is in the news, or in the press, I should say, over the last year or so, we've been hearing various issues about the piece of funding that our federal government will or will not do, and the issue of I will say this, the issue of abortion being the reason why federal funding will not be done or done, depending on the Congress's feelings about this subject. And in reality, me as a family physician, I know that Planned Parenthood does the piece relating to abortions is a very small piece of what Planned Parenthood does. It's minuscule compared to the enormousness of what Planned Parenthood does for the clients, for women in this country. And so I want us to all, as listeners and me as a doctor, to hear from someone who knows about this stuff. And that would be Tony Donovan, Senior Education Manager from Planned Parenthood of Northern California. Tony, are you on the line?
I am. Hello.
Oh, great. Welcome. I'm so happy you're able to join us today. How are you?
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Very good. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
Fine, thank you. So, I'm thinking that it would be ideal, I think, for the listeners, if you could, would you be able to give us a big view of what Planned Parenthood, the Office of Planned Parenthood, is in the country, but and specifically Northern California? What is Planned Parenthood anyway?
Well, Planned Parenthood is big. We have a federation, and then we are split up by affiliates around the country. And there are many, many affiliates throughout the country. And the affiliate that I work for is called Planned Parenthood Northern California, and mm-hmm. We encompass about 20 counties in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout, we have 17 health centers and 3 satellite sites in those counties, within those 20 counties. And we provide many, many services. Did you want me to go into detail about the services?
Yeah, yes, I would. So Planned Parenthood of Northern California, how many counties did you say?
20 counties.
20 counties, my gosh. And that includes Butte County, is that correct?
Yes, it does.
And that means 17 sites and 3 satellite sites, so that adds up to about 20 sites throughout that span, of geographical span, is that correct?
Yes.
What is done for clients, people who are seeking help with Planned Parenthood? What do you do for clients?
Well, we provide a multitude of services. I'd say the most popular and the most common services that people seek out at our health centers are coming for birth control. They come in for STD testing and treatment.
STD as in sexually transmitted disease.
Breast cancer screenings, cervical mm-hmm. cancer screenings.
Mm-hmm.
We do exams for both males and females. We have counseling services. We provide rapid HIV testing and, we have vasectomy services, non-surgical sterilization for women, otherwise known as ESHER. We have vaccinations. We provide what we call gender-affirming hormone therapy so that we provide hormones for gender transition.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have PEP and PrEP, so pre-exposure prophylaxis as well as post-exposure prophylaxis.
Relative to birth control?
No, for HIV.
Oh, HIV. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Wow, so that's, what's the word I'm looking for? What you just described is very... There's a lot encompassed in everything you just said, that services that are available through Planned Parenthood. And I'm just going to reiterate a little bit of it, okay?
Sure.
So birth control, the various avenues or ways of for clients to obtain birth control, a variety are available through Planned Parenthood, which is, of course, very important. And that includes not only birth control pills, but IUDs, placement of IUDs. And then you actually, you know, the word Planned Parenthood and a lot of what you just said have to do with women. And I was so happy to hear you say that you also, at certain sites, will offer vasectomies for male patients.
Yes.
And so, oh my gosh, you mean the males can...
And Chico happens to be one of the sites where we provide vasectomy services.
Very good. So in Chico, Planned Parenthood Chico, a male can obtain a vasectomy. It seems quite appropriate to me that males should play a distinct role in birth control as part of a partnership with in the relationships that they're in. So I'm glad to hear that Planned Parenthood participates in vasectomies availability, including the Chico office. That's excellent. And then the second thing that I guess I hadn't thought about much, but women's health from the standpoint of cancer, early cancer detection, is very important. And in the day and age when primary care providers such as doctors and nurse practitioners and physician assistants are in, there's not enough of us around, and it can be difficult for people to have a primary care provider. So it is very good to know, for me as a doctor, to know that indeed Planned Parenthood is a place where women can seek out care for early cancer detection, like you said. And as you indicated, to help line women up for mammograms, if they are in an age group where mammograms are advised for breast cancer detection, early breast cancer detection, pap smears for detection of not only cervical cancer, but the precursors of the virus situation that could lead later to cervical cancer, and be treated by Planned Parenthood, I believe. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Very good. Treated to prevent them from ever getting cervical cancer in their future. Prevention. What a great idea. Preventing a cancer.
Yes.
so there's an, that's another one. We called you on the phone so you could talk to us, and I'm noticing that Dr. Logan is doing a lot of talking. I apologize for that, but I just love what you guys do, and I just want to make sure.
Thank you very much.
I just want to make sure everybody knows.
It's important to note that we do regularly and consistently seek out partnerships with other local medical clinics, especially FQHCs.
FQHCs, as in
federally. So that we
federally
can help provide those services. Family practice providers are people try to get an appointment for a pap smear, and they might need to wait 30 days before they can get an appointment
at least,
when usually they can get in within the week with Planned Parenthood.
Excellent.
I also think that sometimes people don't realize that we bill almost all private insurances. We are also bill Medi-Cal and managed care Medi-Cal. We have the Family Pact program. And we also bill on a, we can have people pay on a sliding scale fee if they want to pay with cash.
If they don't
have
insurance.
There are multiple options and avenues.
Yes. So what you just described is the way patients or clients can, the wide range of availability of how to pay for visits at Planned Parenthood. And it ranges, what I just heard from you is, every single option out there that at least me as a doctor, know about and hear on how patients pay for their medical care, such as for people who do not have insurance, Planned Parenthood has a sliding fee. In other words, pay a smaller amount depending on your income, and you take private insurance, health insurances, you take Medi-Cal, straight Medi-Cal, And you take the, which is, this is also a good thing that you just said, the managed care Medi-Cal, which for those listeners who don't know what that means, is for adults in the state of California, when you have Medi-Cal, usually it is managed and taken care of and by an intermediary insurance company. I'm not sure up in Redding, but in Chico area, our part of the state, the managed care companies for Medi-Cal managed cares are California Health and Wellness. And then the other one is Anthem Blue Cross, which is contracted now with a very difficult to work with company called River City Medical Group. But it's good to hear that Planned Parenthood works with those insurances as well. Wow, this is excellent.
Yes, and we do. The Family PACT program, I think, is really important to note. The Family PACT program is specifically to pay for reproductive health care for folks that are of low income or have a need for confidentiality.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, for example, if you have someone who needs to keep the services private from whoever else might be on their insurance plan, we can, if they meet the income eligibility limits, we can sign them up for a Family PACT program very quickly and easily and see them that day and have the Family PACT program pay for that, for their visit.
Very good. And like you said, confidentiality sometimes is what a patient might desire, and you can accommodate that in that setting.
Yes, absolutely. We have very strict confidentiality policies, and I know in the past we have had times when a person may come in for services and they come in with their partner, and the partner wants to, you know, come back to support them in their visit. Unfortunately, we don't let other folks come back in the visit. We treat everybody as an individual, and we do it privately. We always want to give everybody the opportunity and the space they might need for a safe environment. If they have to disclose something that's very private, we want to make sure that they have the option and the time to do that.
And that would mean without the partner back there with them if they had a subject that they were uncomfortable to bring up with the partner at present, then they certainly are open to do that when they see you.
Yes.
Excellent. And the issue of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, being another area that Planned Parenthood helps with, takes care of for patients, testing and treatment of sexually transmitted diseases is a big deal. And that's great to hear you say that Planned Parenthood, that is part of what Planned Parenthood does. And included in that is HIV testing and elements of treatment. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we do testing and treatment for STDs as well as HIV. The HIV test, we do use a rapid HIV test, but it is a fourth-generation test, which, it's a really good, it's a really great test. It's very accurate.
Improved in accuracy.
And a person can get their HIV test results back in 20 minutes.
Oh, good. So they don't have to wait for days or whatever.
Right. And then we give them a direct referral to a local physician. So.
Physician for treatment. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Very good. Excellent. And and you had said earlier that you, in some situations, you work with community clinics,
federally qualified health centers. Sorry,
health centers. Yeah, and that's good to hear too. You know, the of course, depending on what part of the state, county we're talking about, an area, but what a great thing that, collaborating with other caregiver and organizations like the community clinics in various areas. How could that not be a good idea? That's just great. I wanted to we have minutes left, a few minutes left, and part of the reason I wanted to have you tell us what you've told us today is, again, so that I, as a physician in Chico, can know better, and I do now know better, what is available at Planned Parenthood offices for my patients. And then the second thing is, I've been annoyed. Let me just tell you my problem. I've been annoyed with the issue that has come up in the press relative to funds, governmental our government tax dollars going to helping Planned Parenthood along its path and helping our patients and our fellow citizens. And the issue of politicians dragging their feet or not wanting government funds to help Planned Parenthood because they do abortions, and you mentioned many things that Planned Parenthood does. Birth control wise, health, cancer screening wise, sexually transmitted disease wise. Now, I, as a physician, understand that abortion is part of what could be offered a woman for if she found herself pregnant and did not desire the pregnancy, or it would not be well for her to continue with the pregnancy, and abortion was something she picked. Does Planned Parenthood offer that option, or at least counseling? How's that handled?
Yes, both, all of the above, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood does offer abortion services. Some sites only offer early term abortions, or what we call medication abortions, and mm-hmm. other sites will offer later term and surgical abortions. And so, abortions are offered throughout Planned Parenthood's nationwide.
Mm-hmm. And
I am looking at our annual report right now. Uh-huh. I just wanted to get an idea for myself because everybody sort of shoots off statistics.
Uh-huh.
And out of all of the services that we provide, STD testing and treatment was 52% of the services that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
Next on the list is contraception at 33% of mm-hmm. the services we provide.
Mm-hmm.
3% was cancer screening and prevention,
mm-hmm.
10% of women's health services, and 2% of the services we provide were abortion services. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a very small piece of the pie.
Yeah, so 98% of the services that Planned Parenthood supplies have nothing to do with abortion or not abortion. 98%.
Prevention and treatment. 98% prevention and treatment.
Prevention and treatment. We need to. I need to talk to some politicians.
we need to realign the focus.
Yeah. let's see. What was I going to say about that?
Were you questioning the funding?
No. Yeah. Oh well. Do you have any information on how? Kind of. That's actually a good question. How is I understand that Planned Parenthood, you bill the client or can bill the client depending on their level of ability to pay and their insurance. That's one way that Planned Parenthood receives funds. And what are other ways that Planned Parenthood is funded?
We definitely have private donors, and we have had an overwhelmingly amount of support in the last 8 months or so. So that's been really amazing. Foundations, we have foundation support, We have grants that we apply for from all over the place for, you know, other organizations that support our work. And, of course, we do have federal funding as well. Mainly, it's Title X funding that has been in the media, in the news a lot, being at risk for losing that Title X funding. Right now, as it sits, states get to control. Title X money is money that's set aside for sexual and reproductive health care. And
these are federal dollars. Federal dollars we're talking about.
Yeah, it's correct? Federal dollars that okay. are set aside for sexual and reproductive health care. And it used to be that the federal government would manage who was allowed to apply for those funds. Right now it's in the hands of the state, and so the states can say which providers they, you know, can apply for the funds and get awarded the funds. And so that's sort of what's at risk right now is, are they going to keep the states in charge of where those funds go? Are they going to develop a law that says that states are in charge of where the funds can go, but it can't go to anybody that provides abortion care? Mm. There's a lot of ins and outs with this, and we're going to keep fighting. We have a great advocacy team, and they're on the ground running right now, and we're just hoping to keep those funds so that we can keep providing the excellent care that we do to our clients. We are really, really fortunate to live in California, who is a big supporter of Planned Parenthood, and so I think that we are in a better place than folks in other states at this point.
So this issue of, did you call it Title X?
Yes, Title X funding.
Title X federal dollars that can be paid to Planned Parenthood from our tax dollars. The issue currently sits, does something have to happen in Congress now, or is this an issue that some congressmen and senators are bringing up to make changes on, or is there a policy intact currently that is stable and allows some of the funding to occur? And then part of that question is, currently, are the states in charge of each of their federal pieces to allot it where they desire? Or
yes. So I'm not an expert in this area, but let me try to explain clearly.
Okay.
That right now there is a clear piece of legislation in place that has been effective for quite some time. And the states have control over who can be allocated those funds. Okay. So there is an application process, and you have to qualify on multiple levels, but then the state, you know, can award whoever meets the criteria. But the rule has always been, from the federal point of view, that none of this money can go towards funding any abortion services. So Planned Parenthood in California has always received Title X funding, but we've never used that money. We keep it very separate from our abortion care services, and we use it for lots of other things, like providing comprehensive sex education throughout the school districts, or for other medical services, or for operating costs. And so we keep a very clear guideline so that it stays separate. Right now, Congress is trying to change that so that, one, that the feds allocate the money as opposed to the states, and then two, that if anybody provides abortions, they will not qualify for the funds.
Yeah. So those are the issues that are being battled in Congress currently, huh?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to keep an eye on
that. Among many others, in regards to quality sex education. Oh. There's a lot going on about in regards to comprehensive sex education versus abstinence-only education.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to close with you, and I thank you so much, Tony Donovan, Senior Education Manager, Planned Parenthood Northern California, who hails from Redding, California, right?
Yes.
I thank you so much, and I'm glad I have your phone number, and I may be talking with you in the future on some of these subjects, if that's all right with you.
Anytime. I would love to.
Thank you again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
And also, so we're drawing to a close of the Doctor's Inn tonight, and thank you, Sandy, for your engineering tonight. And the underwriters, let's talk about that. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918, located at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and can be reached by calling 342-1055. And by locally owned and operated Rescue Technology Solutions, providing on-site and remote computer repair, maintenance, and security, serving all of Northern California since 2002. Rescue Technology Solutions offers on-site and remote support, monthly maintenance services, PC repair, and virus removal. For more information, visit rescuetech.net or call 888-817-2667. Thank you very much, and stay tuned for Beatle Nation. See you next month.